Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope you are ready to hear about how Jesus Christ is working in sports. And we've always got different athletes for you, different coaches. We have today a coach who's just coming off the one of the best seasons he's ever had. It's Austin Parkinson, and he is the head coach of the IUPUI Lady Jaguars. The Jaguars have just won the regular season title in their history. I believe they're in the Horizon League, and they've won that. And for the second time in 3 years, Austin Parkinson has been named the coach of the year. In fact, this is the best record that they have ever had, the first regular season title in conference history. So they have had a tremendous year. They've been ranked in the top 15 in the polls, and they're one of the best teams in the country. And the name Parkinson might mean a lot to those of you who follow Purdue basketball. Bruce Parkinson played back in the early 70s. That's Austin's dad. And Bruce was a really very good player. I think he played maybe even for a short time in the NBA. And his son Austin had a nice career playing also at Purdue. And then Austin became the head coach of the IUPUI Jaguars. And you might go all the way back to Austin's grandfather, Bruce's dad. He played for the University of Kentucky back in the day and played for Adolph Rupp and was one of what was called Rupp's Runts. So you've got a lot of basketball history there. But today we want to focus on Austin Parkinson. And this is an interview that we did a couple of years ago. And so the references are to pretty much what was going on around 2017, 2018. But the testimony of Austin never changes and his faith never changes. So we will take a break. And when we come back, you'll hear from Austin Parkinson, the head women's coach of the IUPUI Jaguars. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today my guest is Austin Parkinson, who is the head women's basketball coach at IUPUI in Indianapolis and also had a fine career at Purdue. Austin, thanks for spending time with us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Excited to be here.
You came into a program that was, well, pretty down before you got here in 2010. This team won three games in 2009, 2010. You've turned this program around. What really made the difference?
Well, it was quite a transition. You know, I was going from coaching men to women, and I went from being an assistant coach to head coach. So a lot of challenges early on. But I think the reason that we've been able to turn things around has been the culture and focusing on our relationships, you know, and then really building the confidence of you know, our young ladies. And it's been neat to see, and we've been fortunate to win, you know, several games. I think an area I'm probably most proud about is our academics. We grew significantly, I think, this past year. We're at like 3.44 GPA, and we think that's going to put us in the top 25 nationally. So that's pretty neat.
Tell me what your track record has been before you got here to IUPUI. What schools were you involved with coming out of Purdue?
Well, my fifth year at Purdue, I could have gone and played overseas, but I had some shoulder issues, and it was a neat opportunity to stay on as Coach Katie's student assistant and get to see his kind of farewell tour. And that was a neat experience. I went on, I was a GA at the University of Indianapolis for 2 years, which the Division II level is phenomenal. It's a really well-run campus. And then went on and was a director of basketball operations at IPFW in Fort Wayne for Dane Fife. Guy I played against in college as a good friend of mine and quite a character. So, and then after that, I went on to IUPUI. I got here right after George Hill had put his name in the draft. And so I missed him by 1 year. But I got to work for Ron Hunter, who was both a really good coach and a humanitarian in the way that, you know, he had a cause with Samaritan's Feet and allowed us to do some, you know, mission work overseas. And we went to Lima, Peru. So being part of his staff, staff, and then obviously it led me into this position.
Yeah, that Samaritan's Feet is quite a program. I know that those are games where you actually coach with no shoes on to bring attention to people that don't have any shoes. And I know Coach Turner, he was really a leader in that. Give us some more details about that. I think thousands of pairs of shoes sent to kids overseas, right?
Yeah, it's run by Manny Ahome out of Charlotte. The guy, he came from Nigeria, actually went to school in North Dakota, and he started it. And I think Coach Hunter, being the face of it, really elevated its status and the need for it. The neat thing that we got to experience is, we got to take shoes donated here to kids overseas, and we went to Lima, Peru. And we would go into a village, and ultimately we would, they would select a certain number of people, and we would carry those shoes in, and then we would wash the feet of these kids, sometimes, 2 years old to 6 years old, sometimes 10 years old, and we'd wash their feet and pray with them. And then we give them their first pair of shoes. And one interesting note that I found is there, they were so happy to get a pair of shoes. It didn't matter what it looked like, any of those things. We did the same thing here in Detroit. And kids would complain about, well, I want the sparkly ones, and I want the, and it was really a difference in, society and where we're at. But the other thing that was really neat about that trip from a faith standpoint is, I think we take advantage of the fact that we can hop in the car and head to the local church, hear the pastor speak and worship. There, we went two Sundays, and both Sundays, the state church started at 10:30. Church really didn't start to about 11:30 or noon. But people would roll in, and the interesting part, they would walk miles at a time to be there. And they had a couple songs that were songs that we knew. It was obviously in a different language, but their worship style and their energy level and their passion for it was, it was something that you could tell they looked forward to the entire time, and it was something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I was going to say that probably was a tremendous emotional experience. And you bring a lot of that well-rounded experience when you come into this head coaching position, because you get so many different players from so many different backgrounds, so many different levels. To focus on what your team does for to be successful, I know that when you were in college at Purdue, the big thing for you was passing and defense. Is that something from a basketball standpoint that really stands out on your teams?
So it's kind of funny. Ironically, if you looked at my team since I've been at IUPUI, defense is obviously our theme. Defense lives here. We've always guarded very well. We've led the league in rebounding off and on, since I've been here. And our post play has been really, really good. You would think with me, my strength being passing, that would be what our team's strength is, and it hasn't been. We throw it all over the place at different times. And so it's actually an area we focused on. We're moving toward recruiting players with, a higher basketball IQ. I've got several point guards now in my program that really understand their winners. They understand how to play. And so from a strategic standpoint, we're trying to move in an area where we, embrace the fundamentals consistently, and I think if we do that, that'll elevate us to the next step.
Let's talk about recruiting a little bit. IUPUI, here on the edge of the inner city in Indianapolis, you're playing in the Summit Conference, kind of squeezed in here, different facility than what you find in some other schools. How tough is it to bring basketball players to play for IUPUI?
Honestly, not hard at all. And the ironic part about it is the academics here are incredible. It's something that's not, the story isn't told well enough. For example, you look at my team. This past year, I had a kid graduate in the Kelley School of Business. I have two kids in dental school. I have one that's a PT. These kids are in really hard majors doing well. And, the academic portion is huge in getting that Big Ten degree. The other part about it is our campus is young. It's growing. It's vibrant. There's about 1,000 new beds, two brand new buildings in the middle of campus. And the thing that I think blows away recruits is you're literally walking distance to downtown. And I joke with people all the time as I tell them, if you're bored at IUPUI, if you're bored in Indianapolis, that's a you problem, because there's so many neat things going on outside of the basketball aspect. It's a really neat experience. And so for us, it's been fun to sell, because I think we've had kids from down the street and we've had kids from 5 hours away that come and leave campus and say, wow, I didn't even know this was here. It's right downtown. And so it's something we take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Summit Conference a little bit. That seems to be a growing conference. In fact, you talk about Dane Fife. Dane Fife and I have a great relationship also, and I spent some time at IPFW, and I've seen Dane really take that school, and before he went to Michigan State, really did a lot with it. But this Summit Conference with South Dakota State, I believe, in it, and different schools, seems to be growing on the NCAA horizon. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, it's you know, and you appreciate that, and as somebody that pays attention to the game, it's been neat to see the respect level of our league go up, because I think teams out here don't always go out and compete in that area. And, you know, South Dakota State, typically, I mean, their women outdraw their men a lot of times in attendance. South Dakota State's women last year were two missed free throws from going to the Sweet 16. You know, and South Dakota won the WNIT, beat Oregon by 34 in the semifinal. And those are teams that we've, you know, we've competed well against. We've been in that top tier, you know, one through three, you know, since the last 4 or 5 years. So the respect of the league has grown immensely. Western Illinois played in postseason play last year. So it's neat. I appreciate when we have teams from the Midwest that have to go out there and see the difficulty and the brand of basketball that they play, which I think is high caliber.
Yeah, you got to the WNIT, and I know also one of the things you did, you got to play in postseason for Gene Katy. Tell me a little bit. Let's go back and talk about your days at Purdue. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to play for a legendary guy like Gene Katy.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. We were on vacation recently, and I went to dinner with him and his wife, Kathleen, and she asked the question, you know, hey, did you you know, were you scared of him? And I said, well, you know, it's not like you turned on the TV and thought, you know, coach was going to rub your back and, you know, sing a lullaby to you. I mean, you knew what to expect. And so, but it was a great experience, you know, playing in postseason. You know, Purdue had that tradition. They were coming off of an Elite Eight when I got there. And I think we were poised to be an NCAA tournament team my freshman year, but we had two major injuries that really held us back. My junior year, we went to the second round. I lost to Texas and TJ Ford. And then my senior year, we got off to a great start. We beat Duke in Alaska, beat Seton Hall in Alaska. We opened the conference at Illinois with D. Brown, Darren Williams, and Luther Head. We beat them at their place. And then now that I'm in coaching, we had a kid that ultimately academically became ineligible. And at the time, I really didn't understand because he was a bright kid. But there's all these different rules when it comes to percentage of degrees, and the kid was a transfer student. And so ultimately, it wasn't the academic kid. It was something that had dropped the ball, you know, behind the scenes. And then that really changed our season because he was our starting center. And then our best player, Kenny Lowe, was out for three games. And we ended up in the NIT, and it was disappointing, you know, my senior year not to be in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, my 4 years at Purdue were special.
Austin Parkinson is our guest. He had a great career at Purdue, now the head coach at IUPUI with the women. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about him. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Austin Parkinson, and ironically, we just did an interview a few weeks ago with your father. You come from a tremendous basketball family in the Kokomo area. You went to Northwestern High School. Your dad got a chance to play in the pros, had a great career, and your grandfather played for Adolph Rupp down in Kentucky. Tell me a little bit about what you learned from your grandfather. That's quite an experience playing for Adolph Rupp.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. So my grandpa was an All-American for Adolph Rupp in Kentucky. You know, my grandpa was a guy he was a man of few words. So, you know, I think he passed away when I was a freshman in high school. And we talk about all the time, it'd been really cool if he'd lived, you know, another 4 or 5 years where I could have really understood, you know, the type of questions I would have wanted to ask about Adolph Rupp. And, but he actually was an All-American, went off to war, and then came back and was the sixth man for what the original Fab Five. Ooh. And so, you know, imagine going off to war and coming back where you were a starter and All-American, and now you come off the bench. And so, you know, he obviously had a great career. My dad was the all-time assist leader at Purdue, you know, played a ton of minutes. And that's where I got my passing, my basketball IQ. I mean, to this day, even as a coach, I mean, I joke that he's like my fourth unpaid assistant coach, as he gives me feedback, you know, willingly and unwillingly at times, but I always welcome it.
I know another thing that, of course, is very important in your life is your faith. Tell me a little bit about what Jesus Christ means to you.
So I think growing up, and my parents did a tremendous job. I mean, we were very morally sound kids, but we grew up in the church, and it was, you know, you showed up to church on time, you were quiet, you paid attention to the pastor. I mean, you know, you did what you're supposed to do. And it wasn't until about my junior year of college where I faced some adversity from a basketball standpoint. And I was really questioning, you know, some things and where I was at. And ultimately, there was a book by Joyce Meyer. I don't remember the name of the book, but at the time, and you've probably experienced this as well, where you read something years later and maybe it doesn't have the same impact. But I read a book and it really challenged me to evaluate where I was at in life and understand, like, you know, people would give their right arm to be in a position to play at Purdue basketball. And I understood at that point, I kind of figured out what a relationship with the Lord was like. And it was more than just me praying. It was me showing up. It was me listening and spending quiet time. And, you know, it really changed my senior year. And we started the Athletes in Action Bible study when I was there. I taught that for 2 years. And it's been a neat journey. I mean, it's a challenging journey. I think one of the things as somebody that's faith is really important is I try to be authentic. You know, I try to be, hey, look, I struggle. There are times, there are things in coaching that I struggle with that I want to be better. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, you're constantly being refined in your walk with the Lord.
You're at a public institution here, and of course there's different restrictions, or that's the way it looks from the outside, but you still have some very close relationships with your players and your coaches. How does your faith in Jesus Christ come through to your program, your team, your coaches, all the people you come in contact with?
Well, I think I'm in a position where, you know, we really have to respect, and we do respect and listen to everyone's point of view. I think the biggest thing that I try to do is show love. I mean, and I think that, you know, just like anything else, if depending on what you were interested in, it would impact you in a way, the way that you did your job, the way that you talk to people. And so, you know, my relationship with the Lord, my faith, you know, has principles in the way that I want to coach, the way I would want to run our program. And, you know, I think that is the baseline for me on decision making and things that when I have to wrestle with, you know, tough decisions, you know, I'm able to go and you know, take it to the Lord in prayer and seek wise counsel so that I feel like I'm making the right choices.
When you take a look at a player, of course, you've got to look at what the basketball ability is. And I know you don't recruit too far out. I know you like to get a lot of players from Indiana, and I think I saw somewhere where you don't have anybody that's from a neighboring state outside of Indiana. Would that be true? Or you?
Well, no, actually, we have so our roster currently is made up of Indiana and then the bordering states.
Yeah,
I've got one.
That's
young,
what I meant.
Yes, and then we've got one young lady this year that's a transfer coming from Wisconsin, and it'll be the furthest, you know, that we've had. But you know, this is such a great recruiting area. We've had a lot of success in the Midwest.
When you look at a player, what do you look for besides basketball ability? Does that come into play at all? Do you look at what the family history's been, what the character of the player has been, and are there players that you would say, boy, I'll tell you, this player can really play, but there's some issues there?
Well, I think that's such a big factor. In fact, I talked to a recruit the other day of a school that had seen them play one time and offered him a scholarship, and I said to them, I thought that's ridiculous, because to me, when you're recruiting someone more than just as a basketball player, recruiting them, in fact, probably more as a person and what they're going to bring to your team from a culture standpoint, what they're going to bring to the university and how they're going to interact with others. And so we've spent a great deal of time of identifying kids with high character. I mean, I talked to them about having good character and really a passion for the game of basketball. And we've been fortunate to get those type of kids. When they're on visits, I mean, I look at little things. I mean, how, you know, do you make eye contact? Are you respectful to your parents? You know, what motivates you? And so when you're identifying those things, just like they're evaluating us, if we're a good fit for them, you know, we're all evaluating at the same time, are they a good fit for us? And I think it's one of the areas I take a lot of pride in, is you've got the basketball side of it, you've got the academic side, but I really like, our girls are really close and they really pull for each other and they get along well. And I think when you've got good chemistry, it elevates things on a number of levels.
I know one of the things that you have to do, of course, is to stay strong. And of course, when you're playing for Purdue or whoever you're playing for, you got to stay physically strong. But as a coach and as a leader, you got to stay spiritually strong. What do you do personally to stay spiritually strong?
Well, I think the first thing is this: you spending time. And I think we, you know, and I talked to my wife. I'm a big reader. I love to read, not just, you know, my Bible, but I love to read books, you know, on end. And I find during the year from October to March, it's a real challenge for me to lock in and focus. And even, you know, on a Sunday, you know, there'll be a great praise song and all of a sudden in my head pops, how am I going to, you know, break the two, you know, a 2-3 zone. And so really isolating and getting away and trying to do that. And then I think you have to have, you know, people in your life that, that are mentors. Well, the, one of the fellow by the name of Glenn Korbov that is a great man, spiritually sends me verses every morning, but he's somebody that I meet with. I know he prays for me daily. You know, he did our marriage counseling, for my wife and I. And then we have a Bible study, a couple's Bible study that, it's been hard to get involved in a church Bible study because typically it's every Tuesday night and I could be gone recruiting. We could have a game. And so we identified a group of people that understood that, hey, we might have to change the night weekly, but the important part is meeting. And it's been really refreshing to, as a young married man and getting ready to have a little girl here in the fall, getting other perspectives and seeing what their walks of faith are like.
Austin Parkinson's been our guest, and it's been enlightening to get to know you and to get to know your dad also. But let's close our interview this way. I know that there's a lot of times you spend time in your Bible. Do you have a favorite verse? Do you have anything that means a lot to you?
Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, plans to, you know, and the, when I read that verse the first time, I read that, and I was standing in front of the church in Lima, Peru, and I remember reading, as I started to read it, it really kind of like choked me up because I'm sitting here talking about, you know, prosper, you know, and what does that mean? And I'm looking out at these people that are poor and don't have anything. And in my head at that moment, it really hit me like prosper in Christ. You know, if you put in Christ in that verse in Jeremiah 29:11, it changes things. It changes your perspective on what that really looks like. And that these people were more filled with joy with less than many of us here today with, you know, all the amenities that we have in our, you know, our country. And so when I was before those people, it was like a almost out of a movie, almost a dramatic pause where it kind of hit me. And the ironic part is I had a translator. And so they thought I was just pausing for the translator. But the reality was it hit me that, well, this, you know, this verse means a lot more than just what you take it as when you first read it.
Austin, thanks for spending time with us, and good luck at IUPUI, and of course, continued success as you mentor and lead a number of these young ladies. Thanks for being part of Face to Face.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Austin Parkinson, the head women's basketball coach at IUPUI. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Austin Parkinson. What a great guy, and what a nice. I think they have a new facility up there. They played last time I was up to see IUPUI play on the campus in the central part of the downtown Indianapolis, just off downtown Indianapolis. They were playing in kind of a small facility, but things are changing. And one of the ways in which they are changing is the fact that the women's team, which has not been very good over the years, has now really changed over the last few years since Austin Parkinson has come along. And we're just happy. Happy for him, happy for the program, and happy for the fact that he, again, is a another individual, another Christian coach who has Jesus Christ at the center of his life, and we really appreciate that. So if you enjoy this interview and you want to see more interviews, we hope you go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We've got a number of things up there, and hope that you can check that out and see if there's some other interviews that you want to hear from other athletes. And all of them, of course, have testimonies with faith, have stories about faith and about their faith. And we hope that you'll check that out. Well, as we close for you today, we want to take you to the Psalms, as we often do. Psalm 95 is the one for us today, and it says this: Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. I always appreciate the fact that despite what you hear about sports, despite what you hear about all the negative in sports, and negative, of course, is what a lot of times the media likes to put out there, and there aren't many outlets like Face-to-Face that focus on the positive, but we hope that you know and understand that there are a lot of Christian athletes, a lot of Christian men and women who know Jesus Christ, and because of that, we want to praise him. We want to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation and give him thanksgiving and extol him with music and song, as it says in the psalm, not just Psalm 95, and not just extol him with music and song, but extol him with words and testimony of those who love him. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.